Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have been in a fight down here. Nobody will believe what is happening in a small town like Benton Harbor. I think last week we talked about how they attempted to set me up, you know, knowing that we've been passing out water for the last 2.5 years. Reason unknown, they came to take the forklift while we was gone, and we was unable to unload the truck. And I believe that they called the news media out, thinking that, you know, trying to give the Benton Harbor Community Water Council a black eye. But it failed. See, one of the things that they didn't realize that, you know, 70% of the people here supports me, you see. They didn't realize that. It's unfortunate that they've been getting bad advice from people. And that's why the governor is in this compromising position today. That black guy, Craig, who's running against her for governor, he's up by about 8 points. And it's going to get worse. Instead of her just being upfront, outright, and dealing with the matter, she's trying to backdoor it. And that has created the problem. Oh, absolutely. And this bottle, you know, oh, it's so nice to say that we have put 90,000 cases of water in Benton Harbor. But unfortunately, only 20,000 probably have gone to Benton Harbor residents, and those are mostly the ones that we have given out. It's unfortunate. But that's the way it is. You know, you got to have a system when you're dealing with people, especially people who are desperate. You're talking about people from a poor community. You got people from St. Joe, Michigan coming here. You got people from St. Joe Township, Lincoln Township, Stevensville. You got Benton Township. You got all these folks coming getting water. And I might say they might be a little bit smarter than the residents of Benton Harbor, because a lot of people in Benton Harbor don't have automobiles. You see, that's another thing that a lot of people don't realize. A lot of people here don't have automobiles. And when you don't have automobile, how can you drive and pick up 8-9 cases of water? That is impossible. But it still goes on. See, sometimes white folks just don't get it, you see. They don't get it. And then black folks don't get it either. You know, black folks rather sit at home and do nothing than sit around and open their mouth and do something. For the next five years, listen to this. Your water bill will be going up 10%. For the next 5 years, your water bill will be going up 10%. 5 years. That's right. Right now, you're probably going to have one of the highest water bills. You guys in Benton Harbor don't do nothing. You don't want to do nothing. You don't know what to do. You don't come to people who know what to do. You sit around and do nothing, and then you cry like babies. I got a call today. The guy was complaining about his water bill. Don't complain to me. Get out here and do something. It's a no-brainer. Why should you have a pay for water that you cannot drink, that you cannot brush your teeth with, that you cannot cook with, you cannot bathe in, you cannot make baby formulas with it? Why should you pay the highest rate for water that you cannot use and you accept it? Actually, you should not be paying. If you stood up, you wouldn't have to pay any water bill until this water gets fixed. It's unfortunate the way people act and they think in this community. You see, this is one of the communities where good is evil and evil is good. This is how they think here. Evil is good. You know, man. And, you know, you guys, you church folks, y'all be going to church. Pastors out of fellowship with God. Be careful. Don't end up in hell with them. But that's just the way it is. We got a mayor here. For over 3 years, never mentioned that the water contaminated with lead. And I use that word contaminated because it's important. For 3 years, at least, this guy never mentioned to the community that the water was contaminated with lead. That's right. That is a very, very serious thing. We don't even know how many people have died from this contaminated water. We don't know because they don't record it, water. They don't record death from water that may have caused kidney disease or putting someone on dialysis. They don't record it like that. They would say he died from dialysis treatment or something. That's what they would report. They don't report that a person that has a liver infection, you know, died from the water. They won't record that. You know, they'll just simply say he had liver disease. And it also it caused yellowginous and all that other kind of stuff. They don't talk about the heart failure that you get from contaminated water with lead in it. They don't talk, never talk about that. Never talk about water that's poisoning your whole body, your bones, bone disease. And can't even talk about our children, how they have, how lead affect the brain of our children and also seniors. Lead does that to seniors also. Dementia, it's here. Can you imagine how much damage lead of that proportion would do to so a lady had 889 parts per billion. 15 parts per billion is the action level. And that's way, that's too high. It should be zero. But in a black community, 15, they consider that good. You know, what's a little lead among friends, especially among black folks? You know, who really cares? A lot of times you don't even find black folks there. Oh, they'll say, oh, I don't drink the water anyway, but I brush my teeth with it. I cook with it. I bathe in it. I make baby formulas with it, but I just don't drink it. That is stupid. That's the stupidest thing someone can ever say. But they said, if you walk around Big Harbor, you'll get that, you know. And, you know, I understand. The educational level here, I understand. They've been deprived. They've been deprived here. You know, even the ones that actually has a nice high school diploma, you know, what's it worth? You know, but this is just the way it is. So tomorrow there's going to be a hearing on the recall of the mayor here. Tomorrow there will be a hearing on the recall of the mayor here. And it's important because they're going to come up with all kind of tricks to try to save him. They love fighting for people who don't support the people. They love it. And the bad part about this, the Nation of Islam has not stepped in. They should take his bow tie from him. They should tell him he should never, ever wear another bow tie again. That's how that should be. They should take his bow tie away from him and tell him you should never, ever be seen with a bow tie again. Unbelievable. But this is where we at, especially in today's world. Unfortunately, our children are suffering. They're suffering because someone failed to tell them that the water was contaminated with lead. More lead than Flint, Michigan. That's right. Flint, Michigan was at 17 parts per billion of lead on the average. We're at highest per billion of lead. And that is really a sad thing because Benton Harbor deserved better. You know, but you only get what you can take. If you can't take it, you're not going to get it. This is the way it is. Whether you like it or not, this is the way it is. So you have to get out here and do the things that need to be done and take care of your business. That lead is serious, but, you know, it's not just Benton Harbor. This is what people don't know. I'm hoping what we done, the Benton Harbor Community Water Council, what we done will be a template for all of Michigan and the rest of the country because it took what we did to get them moving. And now they're mad at me. I'm what you call a whistleblower. That's what the Benton Harbor Community Water Council is called, a whistleblower. We blew the whistle on them. And they mad. They're upset. Because this just might cost the governor the election. Oh, absolutely. People want to meet with me that never met with me. The Republican Party wanted me to come in and testify. I just told them the truth. I'm not comfortable coming in there and testifying, giving you some bits. Because you know if you ask me the right question, I'm going to give it to her. Like she never got it before. Because she don't intimidate me. I don't care nothing about her bringing water. I can get my own water. I can order my own water. I can do that. You know, because there's enough people around this country now who want to support me and supply water to us to make sure that we have water, you see. So I think she was thinking, we'll get even with him for filing that petition and being a whistleblower and try to cut his water supply off. Oh, that would be disastrous. I can see right now that Republican Party asking me to come in and pick me up in a limousine and I'm there testifying all day. Oh, can you talking about some commercials? I'll be on commercials for the next 10 years, you know. But, you know, unfortunately, things should not go that way. Like I told them, I'm very, very uncomfortable at this time. That don't mean I won't go and testify. I probably will, knowing me. But right now, I will not go. I will not give them where they can make little commercials about and just hammer the governor, you know. So, and she's no friend of mine. I'm gonna tell you just like it is. She's not a friend of mine. And when she come here, if she's not coming here with a checkbook, there's not a reason in this world that I'm going to take a selfie with. I have no intention. None. I have no intention. I have no intention of ever taking a selfie with her if she ain't got her checkbook with her, taking care of this community and doing things for them. That's a no-no. That's a big no-no. Well, listen, I got a special guest today for you, my good friend. She's with the Louisiana United. And also, she's very special. I've been knowing her for years. And you got to listen to what she say because she got a story to tell. And, you know, and that's truly, truly important. Yeah, yeah. Zena Crenshaw, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you well. It sounds like a clicking noise in the back, but I can hear you well.
Well, if necessary, I'll change to another device. You know, my it's gotten to a point that my ability to communicate with these devices have been compromised, so I'm constantly switching from one to another. So you just let me know, because I do have one other alternative if the clicking noise gets too much of a problem.
Well, you go ahead. Let's just deal with it like this, and because it could get worse. So let's just take our time. And make sure that we can articulate exactly what you're trying to say and what you're trying to do. So I can hear you well. So talk
okay,
to
man.
Me.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, I'm here, like you indicate. I'm with Louisiana United International, and the guest you usually have representing LUI is this co-founder and CEO, Ms. Belinda Parker Brown. So yeah, she always brings the fire, right?
Amen.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm not much insofar as stepping into her shoes, but I'm going to try to bring the facts.
All right.
We have it's Louisiana United International, and we have taken on a campaign as of this last Monday, and it's called America United International. And I want to talk with you and your audience about that. That's a campaign that's been a long time coming. And, that the focus of that campaign are AUI, America United International, is the legal system. You were talking about the environmental injustice there that you all are fighting there in Michigan. It's just terrible. The America United International is focused on when the legal system becomes a weapon, when it's weaponized against individuals. People in your community undoubtedly know about it. It can begin anywhere. It can begin with an encounter with a law enforcement officer, or police brutality, racial profiling. That's one aspect of the legal system. But, it involves sometimes prosecutors, the judges. Every aspect of the legal system, you can find yourself having trouble in criminal court, in family court, in probate court. Well, that's the focus of American United International. When the legal system is used as a tool to retaliate against people, to oppress people, to fill prisons, to rob people of their life, liberty, and property. I think you know a bit about what I'm talking about, don't you, Reverend Pinkney?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Keep giving it to us, and that's the key, Somebody has to tell our people, because a lot of times our people just don't listen.
Exactly, exactly. Well, the challenges that you're talking about, how difficult it is to mobilize the community, to get people to come out and just stand up for their rights. That's an age-old problem. It has been around for as long as there's been mankind. But it's gotten particularly difficult, given that money is what talks. And with money, you can have a staff of people, and they can make phone calls. And when you're part of the establishment, they have you on major media, and it's easier. It seems like people, particularly in the United States, no matter, whether it's a sophisticated community, whatever the race background is, we let major media tell us what to care about, what not to care about, what to do, and we seem to forget that major media is part of the establishment. That's the instrument of the people the corporations and the big government is often the source of our problem. And here we are listening to, if it's not on major media, we don't get engaged. We don't take action, in support of our own rights. And then you don't have the money to pull together the staff to do things when you're not getting media coverage. So this is an age-old problem. And it's part of the reason why the United Nations in 2018, in fact, just about exactly in October, for 2018. Here we are in October 2021. And we went to the United Nations. And, you know, our complaint is that when, you know, your complaint is that the fix is in, you know, that that you've been railroaded, that you were in court and they it wasn't fair, it wasn't impartial, they seemed out to get you. You know, some of your listeners may have heard that, have even heard they talk about the court becomes like a racketeering enterprise. And what happens is when you fight that, when the court system is weaponized against you, you know about that, Reverend Pinkney, when you're a whistleblower,
oh,
like what you talked about, when you're a critic of government, then a lot of times that's when you get, you know, the complaint, the legal complaint brought against you, or you get criminally prosecuted. You can tell us about that from personal experience. And then you find yourself wrongfully convicted. And, you know, people will have evidence that, you know, your attorney, your own defense attorney seemed to be working against you, and the prosecutor was against you. And sometimes even the judge seems part of the team to bring you down, and it doesn't have much to do at all with the facts of the case or the law. This is what we are talking about. This is what America United International has been up against. And we fight these things. We've been fighting them for decades. And it has gotten to the point that, you know, the victories, yes, people like you, Reverend Pinkney, you got support all across the country. You know, you have people who will rally in your defense. But not everybody has that advantage. And even for you, the toll is high. It's a tremendous sacrifice that you make personally and that your family makes to stand up on behalf of the people in the community who are being subjected to injustice. And, you know, it has gotten to the point that the fight is so hard and it takes so long and it costs so much and the victories are so seldom that really people have gotten to a point that they just expect to lose. That's what sort of, you know, they think that that's the way life's supposed to be. We just supposed to lose. But believe it or not, that is not the way it's supposed to be. That one of the most fundamental obligations of our government is to protect us, protect American citizens from abuses of power by people who work for the government. They call it under color of law. That's a fundamental obligation, you know, and it's hard to know which is more important, because you talk about, you know, the obligation of government to have warned you all that you all were being exposed to poison through your water system, you know, and then they're supposed to be providing water that's safe to drink. Well, that's one of the most fundamental obligations of government, to provide for the health and safety and the well-being, you know, the fundamentals of survival for its citizens. But right up there is to protect us from abuses of government power. And a lot of times, you know, I wonder if being protected from abuse of power is not even more important, because they can keep us healthy and fed, but then we're just enslaved. We're so oppressed. It's like we're a form of slavery. So
yes,
that is a fundamental obligation. And the United States, and I think it was 1996, that basic obligation is arguably is just part of natural law. You know, it's just part of the fact that this is supposed to be a government of, for, what is it, by the people. But we went even further as a country in 1996 and signed a treaty. And one of the obligations that our country pledged, is that we will be provided what's called effective avenues of redress. And that is when your allegation is that the judge, the legal system was turned against you and the judge helped make it happen. Because remember, the judges are the gatekeepers. They are supposed to make sure that there's a fair and impartial administration of justice. But sometimes you have a situation where it almost blatant The judge, the fix is in and the judge is in on it, okay? And we, the United States took this pledge. It's called the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. It's an international human rights treaty. And our country, along with all the other countries that ratified this human rights instrument, pledged that they will provide us effective avenues of redress. And basically all that says is not a runaround, not this chase the rabbit, not file this complaint and file that complaint and go here and go there and for years. This stuff can go on for years, and sometimes people die and never do get relief. Our country has pledged that that's not what we will have. We will have effective avenues of redress. That means that it will be a reasonable amount of time. It will be fair and impartial. It will be affordable. And that's, you know, it has gotten to be that's the last thing you can get. In fact, you know, sometimes I've been fighting this corruption of the legal system, and the resistance on the part of the government is so intense that, you know, it just seems like they have a pledge to make sure that you don't get any redress. You know, it's just a full-time fight. And, again, people have gotten to the point that they just expect us to lose. So,
absolutely.
So what is it, Reverend Pinckney, when you're in a country that in 2018 the United Nations says if you are complaining, if your complaint is that your judge, your presiding judge, was somehow in on an unfair outcome, somehow the fix was in and involved your presiding judge. The United Nations made a determination, the Human Rights Council, that you are not going to get effective redress. In other words, get ready for the runaround. Get ready to pretty much not get any relief. You don't have nothing coming if that's your allegation. If you might be able to get, you know, the United States is supposed to have, it's got the gold standard of the world insofar as the legal system. We're the gold standard of fair and impartial administration of justice. But what the United Nations says is if you are alleging that, you know, your judge was part of violating your rights, gold standard or not, you basically don't have nothing coming but a runaround. That's what they determined in October 2018. And then in January of this year, for some reason, days before he left office, President Trump submitted a report. His administration submitted a report to another body of the United Nations, the UN Human Rights Committee. They have similar names, but they're two different bodies. And they basically, the report acknowledged, yes, that's the problem. You know, that's a critical issue, that there are people who, when they're being victimized by the court system, that's a very critical, pressing issue. But basically, they determined that we have other pressing priorities. And, you know, they thought that was the end of it. They thought that was the end of it because, you know, one of the things that the question was, is it enough people being subjected to that? How many people are having that problem? Yes, we know Reverend Pinckney will complain about that, and we know Dr. Zena will complain about that, and Ms. Belinda. But, you know, our people, the people who are dealing with this problem is just like what you're talking about in Michigan. They don't stand up and they don't let their voices be heard. And they're using that against us. And don't get me wrong, they don't make it easy for us to stand up. Don't think that it's just all about we don't look out for ourselves. Because if you stand up, they come after your leaders. You know, if you stand up, they cut off your money supply. They make sure you don't get any media coverage. So don't think it's going to be easy to stand up. But because we're not, then they can say, well, you know, you're not making enough noise, and therefore we can disregard you. You know, everybody looks at how people flooded the streets around the world with the murder of George Floyd, but they forget the big corporate dollars that you know, Black Lives Matter wasn't just an idea that somebody had in their basement. And then the next thing you know is on major media. That it had major corporate support. And so they know that when we're talking about this type of legal system corruption, we don't have the benefit of the dollars and the media exposure, so they use that against us. But on June 15th, we wrote the Biden administration, and we reminded them that there's such a thing as the U.S. Constitution, okay? And that as American citizens, believe it or not, I don't think everybody got the memo. It's circulated quite a few times in U.S. history, but they are not classes of citizens in this country. They are not some people who should be able to get effective avenues of redress. They're not some people who should be able to get relief when they're subjected to injustice at the courtesy of some, you know, representative of U.S. government, and then another whole segment of the population who don't get justice. And we all know that, you know, if you got too much melanin, you to which category you tend to get in, insofar as whether you're going to get justice. And so we brought to President Biden's attention that, you know, this is not something that you get based on whether you got a big enough crowd or whether you are a master community mobilizer like Reverend Pinckney or Belinda Parker Brown. This is something that's a privilege and immunity of American citizenship. We're all supposed to get it. So are you going to, is this going to stay the official position of the United States that you got other things to do other than look out for people who are being set up, who are being railroaded, who are being having their rights deliberately violated in the courtrooms across this country with the involvement, complicity, the support of the presiding judge? And so that was back in June. It's October, and we haven't heard from Reverend, I mean from, he's certainly Reverend President Biden. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, Reverend Pinckney, you know, you're in a country where the UN said you ain't got nothing coming, and the Trump administration, is the official position of the country is you ain't got nothing coming, not if you're complaining about the courts. You don't have nothing coming. But in the meantime, we study got these court orders. We study got these court orders saying, you know, report to prison. You got to report to prison on November 10th. You know, you got to turn over your children to Child Protective Services. You have to, you know, your license, your law license is suspended. I've been a personal target of that. The court is still producing these orders, you know, and no matter how compelling, no matter how blatant the fix may be, we're supposed to be left in a position that you either go along with the order. Are you, you know, you some type of criminal, contempt of court, a fugitive? You, that's the choice that, you know, so technically, theoretically, they can have a court order, Reverend Pinckney, and you know that you make a lot of good trouble, and you got a lot of people with gavels and ink pens who are probably, you know, you could imagine a court order, they can have it where they say, show up Monday, tomorrow at sundown and submit yourself to a firing range. You know, all they need mm-hmm. to have is a court order. And then
that's right.
What are you supposed to do? Just go? Because, it won't do no good to challenge it. What we're saying is, we got to get you out of the country. You got to be some type of fugitive. What America United International is saying, no. No, we don't. And guess what? Guess what is our precedent for proving, for establishing that we don't? The good old Declaration of Independence, an instrument that was really never intended to benefit any more than the wealthy white men who signed it, but they signed it on behalf of then the 13 states of the United States. When they separated themselves, they declared themselves independent of the tyranny of the King of Britain and independent of Great Britain, and that's when the United States of America was formed. And they came up with the Declaration of Independence. Now, the Declaration of Independence is one of our founding documents. It basically was the beginning of this country, the formal declaration. Is not a legal document, it's not the Constitution, but it sets out the principles that when a government becomes an undue threat to the life, liberty, and our property of the people it's supposed to be governed, it is the natural right, it's the God-given right. They spoke in those terms back in 1776. It is the natural law. It is the God-given right. It's the inalienable right of those citizens to protect themselves, to change the terms of that government. In fact, the Declaration of Independence even talks about it is your God-given, in fact, they say it's your obligation to overthrow that government. That's in the Declaration of Independence. So America United International picked up on that cue. And we have determined that to the extent that these court orders are tainted by sometimes blatant evidence of corruption, of these conspiracies to deliberately violate rights, that if the United States is not going to create an opportunity for our evidence to be presented to prove that this is not a legitimate court ruling, then we're going to have to go in here and we're going to have to carve some relief for ourselves. And so what America United International has done is two things. We have on Monday, and then we've gotten an acknowledgement, we submit Ms. Belinda Parker Brown and myself on behalf of America United International. We submitted a request for investigation to the International Criminal Court against President Joseph Biden, Jr. And what we're saying is, you know, these courts, there are allegations that the courts are being used to deliberately violate rights. They're taking away our life, liberty, and property. They have no families. They take seven children, you know, child protective services. And the allegation is there's some type of corruption involved in it. You know, I'm not saying that every allegation is true, but what I'm saying is that these court orders are tainted with evidence of this corruption. But when you go to the judicial disciplinary board, you get nowhere. You go to the local police, you go to the FBI, you go to the Department of Justice. I've been doing this for a decade. So I can attest, you might not even get acknowledged. You won't get even a phone call. I don't care how compelling your evidence is. Now, they'll arrest us for just about anything. I know a gentleman, a homeless guy in Illinois, he got 10 years for stealing some underwear or something from a Dollar Tree. But you can have all kinds of evidence that your ailing grandmother who made the mistake of getting old with quite a bit of money, that the probate court is allowing her estate to be exhausted by unethical guardians and attorneys, and you can have all types of compelling evidence, and you're lucky to get a return phone call, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what we have said to the prosecutor's office at the International Criminal Court is investigate President Biden, because not only are these things crimes against humanity, but standing by and letting it happen is a crime. Is also a crime against humanity. So we've asked that President Biden be investigated, because why is he not even acknowledging our correspondence? We've gotten, you know, this is not just me saying we got a problem. This is the United Nations Human Rights Council saying that America does not have effective redress. The country has acknowledged that, but yet and still, we can't even hear back from the president, from the Justice Department, from the Secretary of State. You know, we can't even hear back. So we asked the International Criminal Court to investigate to find out what is President Biden doing? Because in the meantime, we still going to jail. They still taking our children. They still taking our livelihood. That's what people have to realize, you know, when they say, well, you know, it ain't been that long. We still are losing life, liberty,
yeah,
and property. And we also, I prepared under my name a class action. We submitted it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we're going to try to carve out our own solution. We're trying to get the U.S. Supreme Court to get into a situation where if we can show that we have compelling evidence of this corruption, they call it the evidence is not manifestly ill-founded. That's the technical word of it. Basically, you got a prima facie case. You've got good evidence that whatever court order you're facing is tainted by this judicial corruption. We're trying to get the U.S. Supreme Court to issue an order halting enforcement of those orders until either Congress or the President's office give us, you know, what we're really fighting for is something like a FEMA. You know, mm-hmm. with the hurricane, they have a FEMA, and then you take your receipts and you show, you know, your losses for a hurricane. Well, we're saying that the courts and this corruption is not a natural disaster, it's a man-made disaster. And we need something like a FEMA so we can take our evidence and have a fair consideration of what our losses are and what we were entitled to. And in the meantime, Congress or some type of bureaucracy, federal bureaucracy, needs to start investigating to look and see why it is supposedly the greatest legal system in the world can't protect us from these corrupt lawyers and corrupt judges. So we, in the meantime, we are prepared the paperwork for the U.S. Supreme Court to give us some interim relief. And guess what? You know, I barely had the paperwork in the mailbox, and a clerk, a deputy clerk of the Supreme Court, sent it back to me, talking about this lawsuit is filed by an individual against the United States of America, and the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't have jurisdiction over lawsuits by individuals against the United States of America. Now, you know, the lawsuit is brought under a provision that allows the Supreme Court to consider lawsuits that involve ambassadors, okay, and envoys and consuls, you know, representatives, usually a foreign government. But what I characterize myself as an envoy for the people, because we're alleging that by disregarding this treaty obligation, the United States has triggered our inherent right of self-defense. We do not have to just keep laying down our life, liberty, and property and doing nothing. The Declaration of Independence suggests we have the inherent right to change the terms of government. So what we want to do is, if you're not going to give us this FEMA, then carve out some type of relief, and we want this, you know, this the U.S. Supreme Court to bring a halt to all these corrupt orders that we can establish. So this is what I went to the U.S. Supreme Court. I identified myself as personally being at risk of loss of property. And we originally had a couple of doctors who were going to be involved. They were facing imminent imprisonment, but they at the last minute, you know, they're still deciding whether they're going to challenge that. They're trying to negotiate something. So I proceeded. And based on an imminent loss of very valuable property, and the United Nations has already determined that my predicament is a good, you know, I have a good case that is because of retaliation for my advocacy. And so I went in sort of as an envoy, which is just an ambassador, a representative, for the people who are claiming that, you know, we have a right to change the terms of government, and we want this relief presented to us before the Supreme Court. And there is no case law that I have been able to identify that would preclude this lawsuit, and also is based on natural law. Again, our inherent right of inalienable right to self-defense, to protect ourselves, our privileges and immunities as American citizens. And again, all of this is right there in the Declaration of Independence, what we're doing. We have precedent. And a deputy clerk sends the paperwork back to me. And so I'm going to try to talk with them because, you know, the last I checked, deputy clerks are not supposed to be, you know, resolving, you know, making decisions about the jurisdiction of the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm not saying that the U.S. Supreme Court is going to go along with it. I'm just saying that it's not supposed to be a deputy clerk deciding whether, you know, whether there's merit or not to my case. And on top of that, we want the U.S. Supreme Court to answer, before the case gets resolved. But they pulled this little maneuver, and so I'm going to be following up this week to see if this deputy clerk, whether he wants to, you know, he's got his name on it and his phone number, and see whether he wants to stick with that role. And if not, then we've got our, you know, we're putting our plans in place as to how we're going to take this thing a little further. But that's what America United International is about, Reverend Pinckney. And I can, you know, let people know about our website. But first, I said a lot. I sort of like dump trust a lot on you. Let me find out if you have any questions.
Well, here's something that we all know about. You know, when we talk about the justice system themselves, the United States of America can be sued. I don't know what that clerk was thinking. You can sue the United States of America.
Yes.
But a lot of times they think that you don't know. See, and that's how they get away with a lot of stuff, because a lot of times people don't have the resources to do it. And
exactly.
Yeah, and they can be sued.
Whether
they,
you know, what
hear
it
the
is,
case. Let me say this: whether they hear the case is a whole other thing. They don't have to hear the case, but they can be sued. There's no question about that. And for him to send that to you and stating that, there's a problem right there, because somehow maybe that's a misprint. Or whatever, the United States of America can be sued. And you as an individual can do it if you will, if you took. But one of the things you have to do, you have to go through all the steps. You know, you go through the federal court. I don't know whether you can go directly to the Supreme Court. I don't know about that.
Well, see, that's what is called an original action. And see, what it is that there's like three limited situations that you don't have to go through the federal court system. You can go straight to the U.S. Supreme Court. And it's a very limited situation. Now, keep in mind, our right to change the terms of government have been triggered according to the Declaration of Independence. So we can define the terms. We can define how this thing is going to go. If they're not going to protect us and the government becomes a threat to life, liberty, and property, under natural law, we are entitled to change the terms of government, even overthrow that government. That's what they did with the Declaration of Independence. Those were British citizens.
Yeah.
And they denounced, they turned against and the United States was supposed to be a colony of Britain, but they declared, they changed the law. They denounced that country, that government, because the government was a tyranny. So, you know, whatever usual limitations that they are on the law, we have a right to change those. So that's one thing. So if usually you can't go straight to the U.S. Supreme Court, we can dictate that under our particular circumstances, we can go directly to the Supreme Court. But over beyond that fact, we have still kept this pleading, this lawsuit, where it's not totally made up. You know, we characterize it under a particular section where that allows the Supreme Court to hear claims of ambassadors, and I'm basically representing myself as an ambassador for the people. Who have been directly impacted by alleged corruption of the courts involving the judge, and this this provision allows the U.S. Supreme Court to hear, like a regular lawsuit, just like any other trial court, claims involving ambassadors. I call myself an envoy, and now the U.S. Supreme Court can come out and issue a decision and say, well, it was not in your case, and this and that. But it's not the job of a deputy clerk to make that decision.
I agree.
The deputy clerk should have just filed it. He should have just filed it. The U.S. The Solicitor General will come in and make their response, our report to the court that they waive a response, and then the matter is supposed to be submitted to the Supreme Court for consideration. They're stopping us in the clerk's office. That's the problem.
Absolutely, and you know what was so good about this This opened the door for other people to also consider. And how are you going to handle this? Are you going to refile or send an answer to what the clerk said? I'm pretty sure you are.
Well, what I'm going to do, you know, first I'm going to just talk to the gentleman and see, you know, just how much thought he put into this decision. You know, having an original action and somebody's name on it, it has on their envoy. It has it's a pretty long complaint. So I don't know if this was, you know, just deliberate. Obstacle or a mistake, but I put a couple of calls into him on Friday. I'll see if he contacts me. What I anticipate doing is filing a petition for writ to the clerk's office with the U.S. Supreme Court. And you know how those writ go. We get a petition for writs. We want to get a writ from the Supreme Court that mandates his clerk to docket this complaint. You know,
just docket it. Yeah.
And then, of course, we're going to be reporting all of this to the International Criminal Court to just as more evidence of we don't have no protection. How are you going to have a legal system that's a threat to the life, liberty, and property of the people? And then when they try to file paperwork to challenge that threat, you say, well, this same legal system, we don't have jurisdiction to hear it. You know, you see that circle? That's a hamster wheel right there. How are you going to rule that the legal system that's being corrupted doesn't have jurisdiction to hear a claim about its corruption? You know, that's some real circuitous. That's talking in circles. That's talking out of both sides of your mouth. That doesn't make any sense.
But Dr. Crenshaw, you know what you said just said, talking out of both sides of your mouth. That's what they do. You see, here's how they get us. Most of the time, we don't have the resources to fight back with them. And any time that we have the resources, or we could come up with the resources and the knowledge and the wisdom, we can win. But we got to make sure that we're executing what needs to be done. Because, Caden, with the court, did anybody sign that? Any of the 9 Supreme Court judges, did any one of them sign that the document that the clerk sent you? Any one of them?
No, not even the clerk. It's got a stamp from the clerk, and then it's a deputy clerk. This is just somebody that's hired in the clerk's office.
Right. Absolutely. So I see where you have a leg to stand on.
Exactly.
It sounds like to me he took it upon himself to do this, or she to do this.
It's a man.
I think that's a giant step forward and open the lines of communication with this person and tell them you're going to refile again and you're going to have to do
exactly.
the same thing over again.
Exactly.
I'm going to take it a step forward.
I'm going to petition for the U.S. Supreme Court to order them to docket the case, you know. And if this was go ahead.
Send it to the news media, too. All of them is not going to, and we know the news media is corporate, but at least they have it. And I think what I did more than anything else, I called a press conference, and that's how I got national news. I called a press conference and told them the story. The way I told the story of what we're going to do. We're filing this petition, but that's not the big deal. The big deal is this class action lawsuit that's following this petition. You see, that's how you deal with this system, because they don't think that you have the wisdom and the knowledge to do anything. You see, that's where all this come in. And if what you do, when you call a press conference, especially when I call one, most of the time, everybody's going to know, or what I'm going to say, because they don't know. I might say anything, and you know, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'm not kind to elected officials. I'm not kind to the system. I'm, you know, and there's no reason for me to be kind to them because they're not very kind to me.
Right.
So my thing is what y'all should do before, even before you filed it, I would have called a press conference and just say, even if nobody showed up, you send out, when you send that press release out, you send it to everybody, national news, the Associated Press. Like Wall Street Journal, all these people came to visit me, all of them. Good Morning America, the Guardian newspaper, one that's international. Somebody called me from France. I gave them an interview from Australia. All these people calling because I you got to take the right step. The number one step is to call for a press conference. And that's where the ball started rolling. And then now that you have put them on notice, now they got to hear your case because now you got attention. See, you got to follow the proper steps when you're doing something. I think this is big. That's why I can't get you off the phone.
Well,
I think that's a big issue, but. Always remember to call. A press conference. Even if the press don't show up, you know, you can do it by internet. You can all over. When I had my press conference, I had 20, 30 people tuning in to hear what I had to say. And the reason why they want to know what you're going to say. And how you going to handle this? What you do, you get a plan together. We're filing this for this reason. And you send out a press release to all these people. And believe
we
me.
We did that. That's what I was going to tell you, Reverend Pinkney. Our press release has been picked up online about 1,400,000 and some thousand times. Just launching the American United International. And so now you're telling us to take it, have a press conference, and we hope that you will be there with us. I appreciate your guidance. But go ahead, I cut you off. I just wanted to let you know that number of a million and a half practically.
And online,
our press release.
Right. So the key to having a press conference is to make sure that you have, you're ready to take it to the next level. Because filing this with the United States Supreme Court is great. But now, we have to have another avenue. Let's say if they don't, we'll go to, you will be filing with the United Nations. You will be filing here. See,
exactly.
It's always... something. Oh, when you talk to the news media, you always have to have something behind what you just doing, because if you got something behind it, then they're more interested in listening to what you got to say, because they know that you know what you know. Because a lot of times they be thinking that people don't know, and black folks, they always think black people don't know nothing, So we have to make sure that we're doing the things to get their attention more than anything else. And it's not difficult. The most difficult part is putting your press release together and using the right words of action words. That's how you deal with the press, action words. And remember this, the press don't like you either. They ain't in love with you. They have no intention of helping you, but they're willing to, if it's some kind of news, they're willing to do it. Well, look, we've been talking all this time, and unfortunately, we have ran out. I had my good friend Marcina coming on, but I'm going to apologize to you, Marcina, but this was a very, very interesting conversation that we had to get out, and I thought that it was huge. Just knowing that these are some of the things that need to be done, and absolutely. So, when you get in contact with the with that clerk. Just make sure you get all the information, and then when you get ready to file again, you know, let's have a press conference and see where we at.
Thank you, sir. So,
yeah, so on that note, I got to say thank you so much, everybody, for listening. This was huge. And but next week, and Marcina, I'll make it up to you. Just, I know you probably, that phone is burning up, but I know I got you. But next week, same time, same station. Good job, Dr. Crenshaw. Good job.
Thank you.
And
thank
we
you,
all talk soon. All right now.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.